السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and our sisters who listen over receivers, I recited this verse of the Quran Sharif which you heard many many times in the month of Ramadan. So therefore, if you may be thinking that Mawlana are now going to start with the virtues of fasting in the month of Ramadan, whereas now we are talking about the last part of the ayat, and that is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become muttaqi, so that we may get taqwa in your lives, so that we may learn to restrain ourselves from all that Allah and the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have prohibited, so that we may distance ourselves from everything that is haram, everything that is forbidden. Then we have got taqwa. So at the beginning of the month, we were discussing what the virtues are of fasting, what sawab Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Now we must check whether we have got the objective, we have attained the objective. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So now we have to check every person after he has given his car for panel beating, and this example I have given many many times. So then he goes around and checks that if the panel beater has done a good job, and if he has removed all the dents, and if it is given back to him in showroom condition. So like that, at the end of Ramadan, now we have to check our spiritual bodies and spiritual cars. Are they now in showroom condition? Have we removed all the dents of malice and greed and pride and arrogance? Have we removed those dents that were caused by the non-fulfillment of the rights of parents, of children, of wives? Did we ask forgiveness for the injustice that we may have done to any person? Have we removed those dents which were caused by earning that which was haram, that which came through the casinos, that which came through the lottos, and that which came through stealing, and that which came through usurping the property of others? Have we removed those dents? Then those dents that come of hubbe jah and hubbe mal. One is the usage of wealth. Usage of wealth, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if He provides the wealth and it comes in a halal way and the person uses it correctly, then it's a ni'mat, it's a great ni'mat. It's a ni'mal mal, as long as it is in the hands of a salih person. So then it is good, nobody objects to that. But if that wealth came through such sources that Sharia, that the Quran Sharif, that the Deen considers as wealth which is dirty, we may not see the dirt in that wealth, but Sharia declares it as dirty wealth. So if that has caused dents on our bodies, spiritual bodies, so have we removed it? Have we returned to whomsoever whatever was due? Or did we say that we made a lot of tawbah in the month of Ramadan, so therefore that is sufficient? Therefore that hadith sharif of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, in which Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, being such a close companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, who recorded the largest number of ahadith, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is telling him that my Lord, my Rabb, my Allah, my sustainer, He ordered me 9 things. He instructed me with regards to 9 things. He gave me a specific instruction. Like how we say, I'm giving you a very, very specific instruction. Somebody that's close to us, very dear to us, very near to us, then we know that lots of things that person is not even going to do in his life. But we say, dear child, please, you are my beloved child. Please make sure, I don't want to see you near any casino or disco. I don't want you to see you associate with those friends who are going to take you to such kind of haram places. I don't want to see you in any kind of a drug den or any kind of cinema or theater. Now the person knows that his child who is brought up properly, given proper nurturing and proper upbringing, is not going to be drinking and gambling and fornicating. But out of great love, the person tells the child that I don't want to see you around there. Now here, there was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ever committing any sin. If all the other Nabis of Allah Ta'ala, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, if they were protected, they were masoom, they were sinless, then what about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? There was no question of him doing anything wrong in his life. That is why I've always said that if you look at the Bible, you look at the other books, they've attributed such kind of actions to their Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that it shocks us. That those people who consider their Anbiya, their Nabis, the prophets of God, to be having such kind of actions in their lives, like zina and other things, then how can that ummah be on the right track after that? So we believe that all Anbiya, each and everyone was perfect. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected them. They were safeguarded. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was Haseenon mein ahsan, jameelon mein ajmal, kamilon mein akmal, tajdar-e-madina, ahmad-e-mujtaba, muhammad-e-mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was perfect. There was no question of him even going anywhere near a minor sin, leave alone major sins. But yet, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Rabb instructed me with regards to 9 things, gave me specific instruction. And the first thing that he mentions there is that my Rabb said that I must fear him in public and in private. In my public life, private life, both lives, I must have khawf of Allah Ta'ala, taqwa in my heart. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you think his private life and public life was going to be two different lives like our lives? When it comes to our private lives, how many of us can really take qasam and say that our private lives are exactly as the Quran and the Sunnah demands? When we are in the seclusion of our homes, in seclusion of hotels, when we travel around the world, when the prostitutes are knocking at the doors, and when there's nobody watching us inside those rooms, whether we are seeing, or we're watching world news, or we're watching some other things on the internet and TVs there. And when the person engages and indulges in all those other kinds of harams, when he thinks that nobody is watching, that is our life, double standards. That on the one hand we will talk about taqwa, piety, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and public. In the public we will be very, very different people. A person will be looking forward to giving his daughter to us in marriage. The person will be looking forward to giving us loans because this person can be really trusted. Look at his akhlaq and look at his character. But that is public life. But then private is totally different. Therefore, that hadith sharif, where Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha praised Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after having lived with him for 15 years, when he got the nubuwat, then Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she said, "Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada, innaka latasilur rahim wa tahmilul kal ila akhiril hadith." With a wife, now she is giving all those praises to the husband. Never will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cause any kind of embarrassment and disgrace or humiliation to come upon you, O my beloved husband. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, now I'm just giving an explanation. He said, no kind of embarrassment will come. If you have been given this nubuwat, then I have great yaqeen in Allah ta'ala that He will use you for the propagation of that message, without causing any kind of embarrassment. Yes, tests and trials can come. If a person is hit in the cause of deen, if a person is shot, if a person is imprisoned, if a person is put away for many, many years because of deen, that is not embarrassment, that is not shame, that is not disgrace. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 3 solid years he was ostracized and boycotted. 3 solid years. If we had been with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, na'uzu billah, we would have said, O Nabi of Allah, you are saying that you are the closest to Allah Ta'ala. Why is it your dua is not being accepted? We would have said like that. And we would have left him and run away from there. But look at those companions who were with him. Not one of them said that you are the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. 3 years you are making dua and still we are ostracized and boycotted. And the time has come where we have to chew the leaves of trees for survival and chew leather for survival. Ah, what difficulties and trials they went through. So that is not humiliation, that is not shame, that is not disgrace. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is making the tarbiyah of the person, is taking him to some great heights. So the strength of Iman is being built up. The strength of Iman is being built up through those tests and trials. Now because we are weak, Allah Ta'ala does not test us like that. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, now she says, never will Allah Ta'ala cause any kind of disgrace, embarrassment to come upon you, because you are very, very kind to the relatives. You maintain family ties. And the gist of that whole Hadith Sharif is that you are very, very helpful to the poor, to the needy, to the destitute. In fact, your earning also is for their sake. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you are very hospitable to the Hazrat Khadija says, you are very hospitable to your guests. And then you assist and help those people against whom injustice has been done. Now that is the mafhum. I'm not going into the translation and discussion of that hadith. So in other words, she spoke of all the good qualities that she had seen in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 15 years. After that she lived, but when he received his crown of Nubuwwat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. When Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was still in sand, he was not even created. Awwal ma khalaqallahu nuri. The first thing Allah created was my nur. But the zuhur of that nubuwwat, people came to know that he is a Nabi of Allah. He himself, when the verses Iqra came down, now he was, before that he was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. But now he became Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi salam. So look at Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala now. What kind of praises she showered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I've only found these qualities in you, so how can Allah ta'ala cause any kind of embarrassment or shame to come upon you? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very worried and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me up, because he came from cave of Hira, where the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had squeezed and pressed him. So all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are totally masoom. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him going towards any kind of sin. Yet he says, my Rabb gave me specific instruction that I must fear that Allah in my private life and in my public life, in both. So that is what we were being trained in this month of Ramadan, that our private life also we must obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And our public life also we must obey Allah ta'ala and we must distance ourselves from everything that is haram. Because in privacy, the only thing that kept us away from food and drink, the only thing, nothing else, the only thing that kept us away from food and drink, whilst we were in a state of fasting, or a person was just newly married, it was the first day of his married life, what kept him away from his wife, if he really stayed away? It was the only factor, the only thing, was that my Allah is watching. That's all. Nobody else came and peeped inside his room there. Nobody else came inside the kitchen to see that he opened the fridge and had the custard and faluda which was supposed to be for iftar time. As I mentioned yesterday, there lots of times before they used to have al-wida khutbas, the last khutbah, al-wida, al-wida, al-wida. So I said lots of people, they are very, very sad that Ramadan now al-wida. The noor of Ramadan, the barakat of Ramadan, the sukoon of Ramadan, the tilawat of Ramadan, the taraweeh of Ramadan. All these things are going to go. The shayateen were chained in Ramadan. Now they are going to be opened up. The doors of Jannat were opened. All these things will go away. So they are very sad that all that noor that we were enjoying, all that sukoon that we were enjoying in Ramadan, we are getting drenched in the rains of rahmat that we are pouring from above. Our hearts were experiencing a kind of ecstasy and joy which words cannot describe. I'm talking about those people who really did something, not people like us. So they are sad that Ramadan Sharif is going. But I say the majority of us, when we are saying Al-Wida Al-Ramadan, Al-Wida Al-Ramadan, then we say, hi Ramadan, you are going. What about all the Halim now? What about the Faluda and the custard and the samosas and all that we used to enjoy at the time of Iftar? Al-Wida-i Ramadan, ay-Mahi Ramadan, Al-Wida. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of any kind of sin. But yet he is told that your private life and public life, you must fear that Allah. So that was for us, not for him. It was for us. That when we are in the privacy of our rooms and hotels and other places, who do we fear at that time? Do we consider that we are being watched by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So the purpose of that fasting was لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And that is what taqwa is. Taqwa, that is what it is. Taqwa is not something that the person now whole day and night is going to make zikr or tilawat or ibadat. In the month of Ramadan we do a little bit of extra ibadat, a little bit of extra zikr and tilawat. But throughout the year the person is not going to do that much. But then throughout the year that taqwa is farz and wajib. That we have to stay away from those things. So he said, the first thing my Rabb ordered me is that I must fear that Allah in private life and in public life. Our public life sometimes we worry about because we are seen, but when it comes to private life, then that is where our weakness comes. And most of the complaints that come are about a person's private life. If you look at the complaints at the welfare officers and social workers and everywhere else, and the ulama who are handling cases and the muftis, and the judicial committees and bodies, what are the problems that come there? 90% of the time it is what the person was doing in his private life. The wife will say what he is doing in his private life. The children will say what the father is doing in his private life. What the mother is doing in her private life. So he said that is the first thing. The second thing he said that I must speak only that which is the truth and haqq. Irrespective of what state of mind I am in. I'm just giving you an explanation. That I must speak the haqq under all conditions. I must say nothing but the truth. In other words, it must not be that when we are angry with somebody, so then we forget justice because we are angry with the person. We don't like a person, so we are not going to even take into consideration all his good deeds. The person has got 99 good qualities in him, but there's one thing that we don't like. Just because he trampled our toe somewhere. So now, the person is going to forget all those 99 good qualities in him. He'll only remember that one bad. La yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin ala alla ta'adilu yadilu huwa aqrabu littaqwa. Meaning that if there is enmity with any people, then it must not cause the person to divert from justice. Allah Ta'ala says must be very just. That is the closest to taqwa. So this is another thing he says, my Rabb specifically ordered me. Now he's teaching us a lesson, because that is what happens when we are angry with a person, then we are going to give no consideration to his piety, to his taqwa levels and to everything else, and his charities that he gives, and his humility, and his assistance that he gives to the poor, nothing. We are just going to worry about only that one point. And when we are happy with the person, then we are not going to worry about all his weaknesses. At that time we will put him on the skies. That this person is the best of all persons. Why? Because he has given us some hadiyah, some chanda, panda, he's given us some kind of donation, and he's given us some kind of check. When the check comes in, we don't even check whether it came from halal source or haram source. Then if that person is running a casino also, and is running a disco and a rave club and a night club, and this is what Muslims, unfortunately, many of them are running these days. But if that person gave a big check as a donation or as a hadiah, so this person now, if somebody says, that person is running a disco and is your friend, say, yeah, but you mustn't just look at that one weak point of his. He's got a lot of good points in him. That time we will talk like that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave me specific instructions that whether you are happy with a person or you annoyed and angry with a person, must speak nothing but the truth. In other words, you must be equitable and just and fair. And this was the hallmark of the qazis and the judges of the Islamic era. They did not even care whether the person was an Amirul Mu'mineen or he was the best friend or whoever it may be. When they sat on that seat of justice, so then they balance the scales. Pocket of potatoes couldn't cause it to come down. These days they say with pocket of potatoes you can buy licenses, you can buy lots of things. So they were very, very fair and just. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, or he says to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that's what my Rabb has ordered me. Now look at our lives. As I just said, that if we're very happy with a person, then finish. We forget everything else. And if we're unhappy for some reason or the other, then we'll look for every weakness of his, every fault of his, every thing that we can find to get back at him and to destroy him and his respect and his honor and dignity. We are not going to even consider he's a Muslim, he's a believer in Allah Ta'ala. He's a diamond which fell in dirt and in filth. Now what must we do if to find a diamond? If a person is owning a diamond worth 1 billion or 1 million, now it fell down. So what must he do? Must he throw the diamond away? Must take the diamond, put it under some clean flowing water, and that sparkle and shine will come on the diamond again. So if some weakness came in him, so now don't condemn him to hellfire. Work on him, all his good qualities take into consideration, and then put some clean water and bring the sparkle on it. If he's got some iman, then he'll change. And if he doesn't still change, then Allah Ta'ala will not question us after that, why you didn't do your duty. But with hikmat, with love, and with compassion and mercy, that is the only thing that will bring a person back onto track. If we are going to just hammer the person in the bayan, is that a different thing, whether a congregation of 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 people, then there we say lots of things which may be very hard. But as an individual, when you are talking to a person, at that time that individual must be made to feel and realize that whatever nasihat we are giving to him, we are giving to him out of great love, deep-hearted love. There's nothing else. Just like how we would give nasihat to our own son. If a person finds his own son in a drug den, or he finds him in a prostitute quarters, and he is a pious person. He is a pious person himself. But the son, na'uzubillah, went to this type of places. Now will he embarrass that son in front of everybody? Will he run to the newspapers? Will he go and advertise everywhere that this is what my son was doing? What he will do is he'll call his son one side and he will tell him that, son, this is not the place that you should be in. People are looking at me that I'm in the masjid and I'm making salat and zikr and tilawat and ibadat, and where are you? Why are you there? Now, there are so many things, but we have only 2-3 minutes left. So the person will make nasihat with compassion, with love, and the son too will realize that it's my father, therefore he's making this nasihat to me. So just as we make nasihat to our son and our daughters with love, with compassion and feeling, in the same way when we are making nasihat to any Muslim brother or sister, it must not be an enjoyment and fun and pleasure that we get in discussing his sins and his weaknesses. Yes, in open majlis, in an open program, there we will say that what is happening to our ummah, what is happening to our youth, what is happening to our adults, what is happening to our children, why are they doing these things. So now whoever the cap fits, they'll wear it. But individually the person must not be approached in that manner. Then you see how he changes. Now look at our children, what they're up to. Month of Ramadan. Just 3 days ago in one masjid, first the imam coughed, or some musalli coughed, then somebody else started coughing, then the whole masjid started coughing, and people broke their namaz and they went outside to take some fresh air, and they don't know what happened, why suddenly the whole masjid, everybody coughing. They found it was pepper spray. Some young person pepper spray buzzed that canister or something and finished. Everybody was coughing in the masjid. The tarawih went, their witr went, everything. And this is what our children are up to. Oont re oont teri konsi kal sidhi. He says, camel, O camel, which part of your body is straight? How many things are we going to cry over? We're going to cry over drugs. We're going to cry over prostitution. We're going to cry over watching the porn sites on the internet. We're going to cry over disobedience to parents. That one father says, when I don't give my child money, when he's demanding and I know he's going to go for drugs, but when I tell him, no, you can't have it, he says, I'll shoot you. And the child is saying, I'll shoot you. And he says, I don't trust this youngster. He's liable to shoot me. Now, if that is the state, so he said, what are we going to cry over? Untre untri kunsi kal sidi. So now we are trying to water the leaves and we are trying to try and solve this problem, that problem, that problem. That must carry on. We don't say we must not work on the individual problems. But the real problem is the heart of that young person. Work on the heart of the person. Bring the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into the heart of the person. Bring the khawf and khashiyat of Allah in the heart of this person. And once that comes, then he will not have to be told that this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. He will just drop off those sins like how leaves fall off in autumn. That's how it will fall off. So we have to work at the root of the problem. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. And inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, then we'll discuss this Hadith Sharif again, which I did discuss some time back. Inshallah, it will be Eid tomorrow. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept the fasting, tilawat, zikr, ibadat of this month and bless each and everyone with a prosperous, happy, joyous Eid. And Allah Ta'ala keep us away from all those places that are displeasing to Him on the day of Eid and give everyone happiness. And Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering and problem of mankind around the globe and especially the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أن الحمد لله رب العالمين